It's unexpected and very moving to hear some of people's personal stories going back, you know, four generations, finding, you know, how much the song and the pre-race ceremony means to them and their families. And that still blows me away. Hey, everybody, this is Jim Cornelison, and the Indianapolis 500 is back home again on WGN.
720 WGN Indianapolis Motor Speedway as we close in on race week before the 106th running of that amazing race. And for the first time in a few years, you know, the racing on the track for the last couple of years has been there, whether there's people there, whether there's not people there. There was a bunch of people last year. They said it wasn't a full crowd, but it looked pretty full. But a lot of the things that people look for and love around race week are back this year in full effect. And when it comes to that race experience, when it comes to kicking off and setting the stage for the vibe and emotional setting, there is only one man who can do that. Gentlemen, start your engines is one thing. Back home in Indiana is another. Jim Cornelison is with us. Jim, welcome. Well, welcome to your home, Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Welcome to the home of the Indy 500 for Chicago WGN. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you very much. Very happy to be here and excited for this year.
You're always a big part of it. The drivers are obviously excited and the fans. I got to tell you, I'm feeling it as we get into race week. There is like an intangible thing. There's an extra vibe. We know it's going to be the first full 500 from the experience side and the crowd side in years. It's bigger.
Yeah, I think it's a big deal. For me, it's been super exciting, partly because the track is promoting us back home again in Indiana. Kind of this is what the year is about. And having everybody back in the track, it really does mean something. Last year, you had a lot of fans, as you mentioned, but the infield was empty. You'd turn around and look, and there's still that shadow of COVID, kind of that specter hanging over the race. And not that, I mean, it was incredible, 72 degrees, Elio Castroneves wins his number four.
It was
an
amazing
day. But still, you knew something was missing. And then, of course, the year before that, there were no fans at all, and it had an eerie but yet sort of powerful air to it. It felt patriotic just to hold the race and do it and be part of it and give people something that they just weren't getting. You know, sporting events weren't happening anywhere, but yet they ran the race that year, and that was really special, too. Now, look, we've come around to this point where everybody can come to the race again. What, we'll have the concerts in the infield. We'll have the parade. We always do a military breakfast on the Saturday beforehand. So, I mean, there's all these different events, the pit competition on Friday. So there's so much going on, and everybody can come and be a part of it, and it really is exciting.
One of the biggest elements that people look forward to, they know that it is about to happen, is when you are there and you are singing. And it has become such a big part, an integral part of it. Over the years it has. But Jim Cornelison, I got to say that this is the greatest fit that there has ever been. Like, you being a part of that, your background, your connections to Indiana, and obviously your love and enthusiasm for the race and the incredible talent that you bring to it. And back home in Indiana, right, that's the theme. It feels like it should be the theme almost every year, but it's the official theme this year. And when they did that video, and this was something, got to give hats off and kudos to the team here at the Motor Speedway and the staff there that helped create that promotional video. You are front and center in it. And it really did bring sort of the gravitas of it. I got to tell you, I teared up a little bit, and I wasn't alone.
Look, I'm honored to be a part of this event. And seeing that video, which people can see on YouTube, it's like a 2.5 long video promoting, you know, back home again in Indiana. It starts off with Jim Nabors, and it switches over to me singing the song. And that blew me away to be kind of front and center in terms of this resurgence, post-COVID resurgence, you know, with the race. That's very, very special.
We always talk about it, and it's hard. And you just said something that made me think that maybe, because obviously you're focusing on the song that you're singing and everyone's watching you. And I've said before, you know, for Blackhawk fans, they know it. Like, this is one of the highlights of your game. This last season, it probably was the highlight of many of the games, right?
I don't know. No comment.
Right. No comment. Well, we want more, but you know what? But you are always there as a constant source of inspiration. And I have said it that you can, even for the national anthem, this is everybody's song, right? Is that your singing of it can transcend the song. And are you surprised? Because when you say, like, okay, well, when I got the chance to watch myself doing it, I was really, wow, this is it. Do you always realize just how much what it is that you're doing means to the fans and the event and really the overall experience?
Well, I learned that over years, right? I mean, I think it's been 15 years now of doing all the national anthems for the Chicago Blackhawks. And the national anthem comes at the end of the pregame ceremony, and then it's, you know, they drop the puck. So it's really at the pinnacle. Everything builds up to that moment of the national anthem. Well, at the Indianapolis 500, of course, you have this much longer pre-race ceremony that's steeped in tradition. It's been around 100 and something years, you know,
106.
But I mean, I think the pre-race tradition has been layered over many, many decades, and it's tied not just to the race, but also to Memorial Day and the meaning that that has. And people really, really look forward to that. And it's not the national anthem that comes at the end of that pre-race ceremony. It's back home again in Indiana. And so I understand the song as having that very special place in that pre-race ceremony, that it's an elevated place, it's an important place, it's important to do it well, it's important to not screw up the words, it's important, you know, to really be present. And then I've learned through the Blackhawks, through mostly like the veterans and getting to know so many of those people who are on the ice with me, but then here, just talking to fans and finding, you know, how much the song and the race, but the pre-race ceremony means to them multi-generationally in their families. And that still blows me away. And it's really, I don't know, it's unexpected and very moving to hear some of people's personal stories going back, you know, four generations of coming to the race.
Let the listeners know we're talking with the singing voice of the Indy 500, the one and only Jim Cornelissen. And this is a question that's often for drivers. You know, with all of the pageantry and the parades and the excitement and the fans, you still have to focus on what's happening. You have to be technically proficient on the track. You have to do what you need to do. You just mentioned all of those concerns, right? That you want to remember the words, you want to sing it well, you want to do all those things. So for you, Jim Cornelissen, do you have to block it all out, or is there any moments during your singing, or is it just before and just after where you're able to kind of absorb this amazing experience?
So the 500, because it's once a year, as opposed to with the Blackhawks, I might go out and do 45, depending on playoffs, but I might do 45 to 50, you know, games/events for the Blackhawks. This is once a year, and it's an event on such a massive scale. I'm standing out there on the track as other people are singing the national anthem, as Taps is played, as there's a flyby, as God Bless America is there, as you're looking up and down a straightaway with all these really cool cars and so many fans. I really spend the night before and the whole morning kind of just wanting to bring my focus into myself more and more, because when it comes to that, and I get really hyper-focused in the 15 minutes before and even the 5 minutes before. I'm very often just repeating the words of the song to myself over and over and over again as fast as I can. And one of the reasons is if you start to doubt yourself, if you start thinking of screwing up or what if I forget, you know, there's no monitors for words. You got to remember them, right? So, but you can't let self-doubt come into your mind. You can't let what other people think come into your mind. The entire world has to sort of be within arm's length of yourself. And you do it, and you hope it's just the best that you can do. The effect of it afterwards, now you have time, or you can afford the luxury of actually stopping and saying, that went well. The audience seems to have liked it. That's great. And actually, with the Purdue band there and a conductor, that's helpful. It gives me a visual point of reference that pulls me into the performance that I don't have very often, like singing at a Bears game or singing at a Blackhawks game. You don't have that visual. You have to sort of, you have to bring yourself into your own world. Does this make sense?
Totally right. And it's neat to see that process, right? And obviously the amazing rendition and honoring the song, and you have every bit of that Indiana street cred as well. This isn't, you know, you're not just a singer from some other place that just came in and happens to do this well. You are Indiana too, but you're equal parts.
Well, I went to Indiana University.
That's
right?
What I'm saying.
My son is born here. His mom is my ex-wife now. She was from here. I mean, it's,
right?
It's, yeah.
Yeah, you know, you're not some guy from New York just happens to be able to sing the song. But you're equal parts Chicago, and WGN Radio is the first station to ever broadcast the Indy 500. You are here with on this station and, of course, in Chicago with the iconic Blackhawks. You're kind of equal parts to it. And so as we kind of have, whether it's the drivers or personalities, share their thoughts on Chicago, I'm sure there's too many to list, right, because you live in Chicago. But your thoughts just on the connection between Indy 500 and, of course, Chicago.
Well, a couple of things. One is I was talking to Doug Bowles, and they told me that Chicago's the second biggest market for the Indy 500, of course, after Indianapolis, right? So the first year I did it, as we're approaching the 100-day kickoff, or maybe this is the month of May, Takuma Sato came up to Chicago, and they wanted me to do some radio interviews with him. We may have done one with you. I can't remember for
sure. We absolutely did.
So that was so cool to be able to meet Takuma. Super nice guy. I mean, really nice guy. He's about as big as one of my legs, but I'm 6'5" and much heavier than I will admit. So it was really exciting to be part of that, and to know that the race really is resonating within the Chicago community. And I've had an awful lot of people come up to me in Chicago and tell me, you know, that they'll tell me how much they appreciate what I'm doing, how much they love the race, how much they've gone. I'll find all kinds of IU fans now, because now they all know I went to IU, so right. I'm getting popped with Go Hoosiers all the time when I'm walking around Chicago.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, nothing wrong with that. And then coming down here, you know, the Indy Fuel, the Indianapolis hockey team is an affiliate with Chicago. And so I'd been down a number of times for Indy Fuel games before I did the 500. And that was always really fun. You'd see all the Blackhawk fans, but you kind of expect to see them inside the field house over there at the fairgrounds, right, for an Indy Fuel game. Well, gosh, the first time we did the parade, so that would have been 18, I think, is the first year I did the parade. And you're sitting on the back of the car, and I cannot believe how many Go Hawks. Hey, Jim. I turn around, and somebody's doing my hand gesture, you know, at me, you know. So I'm doing a hand gesture back while I'm sitting in this pace car. And there's so much sort of overlap in fan bases between Chicago and Indianapolis for the race and for the Blackhawks.
It's an overlap of love, and it's an overlap of respect and excitement as things happen. And Jim, we'll let you get back to it as we head into race week. So much excitement, a lot of things. People are going to be excited to see you, shake your hand, do the gesture, and of course encourage you. And of course we'll talk to you again on race day as well here on WGN.
Yeah, great.
But Jim, thanks so much for what you're doing for everybody, right? And thanks for jumping on the show today.
I forgot to mention one of the great things about, you know, singing back home again in Indiana. It's like developing friendships, you know, like with you. So there you go, Dane.
We're making the world a better place.
You're one of my back home again in Indiana bonuses in life.
Thanks, Jim. We'll see you at the track.
All right, brother.